What's the cost of your commute? Because as we grapple with the cost of living, it's a question more of us are contemplating. In Victoria, the state government is planning to enshrine a legal right for people to work from home, which means a money saver for many. But around the country, the journey to work leads people to do mathematical equation in their heads, things like parking plus mileage plus lunch minus time. Well, you're about to hear from a researcher who's uncovered some of the trade-offs and quirks behind Australians' commuting costs. But tell me, what goes into the equation for you when it comes to your commute to work? And I'd love to know if you've got any money-saving hacks for me. I'll tell you my hack in a second. But first, Professor John Nelson, Chair in Public Transport at the University of Sydney Business School. John, how did you get to work this morning?
Well, I didn't. it's a work from home day for me.
So I walked,
which is good, to my home study.
Good stuff. So that's an uptick in what you've seen around the country, walking to work as something that's really on the rise in Australia.
Absolutely. And I know nobody likes to talk about COVID anymore, but we really have to look at COVID in terms of a significant external event, but something that had a massive impact on our lifestyles and the way in which we work. And working from home just typifies that. It was something before COVID that, oh, they're working from home today with a raised eyebrow, to something now which has been normalised and become quite respectful, if you like, and indeed productive as well. And of course, it's had a knock-on effect in terms of how we handle our daily budgets, how we make our travel choices, and then that includes the travel choices when we're not working as well.
So if you do have to go to the office, though, you've also seen an uptick in walking to work in some groups.
Yeah, absolutely. We did an interesting study taking advantage of the impact of the pandemic with our university community, just to try and understand how travel choices had been impacted by this greater flexibility for those who can. We have to emphasise that in terms of working and study practices. And we've seen a small but significant uptick in people choosing active mode, so maybe 2-3% of people who formerly came to work, particularly by car, are now choosing to walk or cycle. And of course, that has to be balanced by or encouraged by the employer as well. So we're seeing a greater incidence in what we call end of journey facilities. So it's great to encourage people to cycle, but they need the reassurance of secure storage facilities, access to suitable changing rooms, and so on.
I have looked into how long it would take for me to walk to work from my place, and it's about 4 hours. That wasn't open to me. What about public transport? On the text line, Colin says, I'm in Brisbane, 50 cent fares, no brainer. Love that for us in Brisbane, but that's not the case in the rest of the country yet.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. And Brisbane is a special case, and it's a fantastic laboratory, if you like, for researchers, and something that we're looking at closely. When it comes to public transport, it's a bit like all of those other spend decisions we make. It's where you actually feel it, if you like, and whether you tap on, tap off, whether you're using in Sydney your Opal card or your debit card, you see that that financial sum that being deleted from your balance. To be honest, and a lot of people won't agree with me necessarily, public transport in Australia isn't that expensive. In the case of Sydney, the most you can spend on your Opal card in a week is $50. And whilst we don't have 50-cent fares, we do have weekend fares applying on a Friday for a little while now, which I think has made a difference. But the interesting thing, and particularly from my perspective as things that I like to look at, is that we don't always do the same sorts of calculations when we're traveling by car. People don't factor in those ongoing insurance costs, those ongoing vehicle maintenance costs. And if you stop somebody in the street and say, you know, how much do you spend per week in dollars on fuel, they'll probably have to pause and think about it. And the same with their tolls. And indeed, we have toll caps in Sydney. It's currently capped at $60 a week. And on top of that, and your little introduction piece alluded to that, is the whole business of parking charges. And I think this is where we have seen some changes again, since COVID. There's perhaps a greater flexibility with maybe organisations, and I'm thinking again, particularly employers, moving from a permit based system that they may have had a few years ago to an app based system where people can be charged by the hour, for example, rather than paying for a day up front. That all depends, of course, on whether you're able to find a parking place in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many different things that go into this, John, and it's so interesting how quickly it's changed just since COVID, probably accelerating trends that were already underway. John Nelson, thank you again for joining me here on Life Matters.
Pleasure.
Professor John Nelson is Chair in Public Transport at the University of Sydney Business School.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.